Good afternoon, everyone. So we got two big things going on here this weekend. One on a global level in the church. Father Don mentioned earlier in the liturgy that Pope Francis has declared from now on that the third Sunday of Ordinary Time we celebrate and it will be known as the Sunday of the Word of God. And secondly, more locally here at Our Lady of Mercy, of the launch and promotion of the Men's and Women's Christ Renews His Parish weekends, they'll be coming up soon. So I want to say a couple words on both of these. First, the Sunday Word of God. You notice a couple different things, even after the gospel was proclaimed, the incense, the blessing of the lectors. Oftentimes, Catholics are criticized with not knowing the scriptures well, or at least compared to our Protestant brothers and sisters. And I think, for the most part, generally speaking, the criticism is well-founded. And the reality, it's unfortunate, because the reality is the church has always encouraged and have said that we're to venerate the scriptures and uphold the scriptures the same way that we do the Eucharist. You notice what we do with the Eucharist. We get on our knees before the Eucharist. We do something with our body, with the Word of God. If you notice Deacon Tony, as he processed over here, we all stood up as he's processing with the book of the Gospels. We stand in attentive position when we hear the Word of God. You notice as we display the book of the Gospels here this weekend that it's coated in a gold lining or gold coating similar to our chalices and ciborias, so as to revere the Eucharist, so as to revere the Word of God. So with this weekend being the Sunday Word of the God, I want to just help us to see three things that the Bible claims to give us. First, the Bible claims to give us truth. Truth about who we are and truth about who God is. But studies have shown that as a nation, we've become more and more biblically illiterate. Much more biblically illiterate than we were even 50 years ago. Not just as Catholics, Christians in general, and just worldwide, we're more and more biblically illiterate. And the consequences of that is that we're becoming more confused upon simple biblical Christian anthropology. Anthropology is just a big word for the study of the human person. What is a human person? What is the human person for? What's its purpose? What's its end? In simple biblical Christian anthropology, the lenses of which we see human anthropology is maybe Christian anthropology 101, is that every single person is made in God's image. Every single person is made of body and soul. Every single person is made male and female. And because we don't have less and less a biblical lens of which to see the world and to see the human person, we're becoming more and more confused about these simple things about the human person, that every single person has value and worth no matter where they're at, from conception to natural death. That every single person made a body and soul, which tells us, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, that we have an end, a purpose to strive for, that this isn't home, meaning that I have purpose for my life. Every single person has purpose in their life. And confused on the fact that everyone's made as male or female, that there's two sexes. And so we have these lies from the world, the enemy, that's just being darted at us all the time, slung at us. And we need to be equipped and firmly planted in the truth so as to have the right lenses to know what the human person is. And the truth is Jesus. And of course, Jesus in his word, in the Bible. Also, the Bible gives us truth about God. We've talked many times here that it's so easy for people to have a messed up image of God. We all have a messed up image of God, and it's easy for us to develop as we've started thinking of that God is somewhere up there with a big old white beard, shaking his head, wagging his finger, or with an anvil, waiting for us to mess up, for to pounce on us. That he's distant, that he's far away, that he leaves. And these aren't for just on a whim that we think these things, but it's because of our past experiences of in life. I was just speaking recently to a young man who was sharing with me that when he was 6 years old, his father just got up and left him and his entire family. And this young man has a vivid memory as a six-year-old boy standing at the door of the house and seeing his dad get in the car and leave and never coming back. As a six-year-old, it's in his mind. And as a result of that, he struggles, and it's his default position is to see his God who's somebody who just abandons. That God is somebody that when things get tough, when tragedy hits in life, God's gone. That he doesn't really care much about me. That he's far away. And it's so easy for all of us just to feel that God at times is just miles and miles and miles away, that he's forgotten about me because of day-to-day stress, concerns about the future, tragedy that hits life. And so we need to be grounded in the truth. What is the truth? The scriptures tells us and informs us of who God is. We can turn to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, that says, "Fear not, know that I am with you. Don't be troubled. I will strengthen you and give you help. I hold you in the palm of my hand." If I'm not reading the scriptures, if I'm not familiar with the Bible, then the default position is that I make up my own image of God. The scriptures, the biblical lens, gives us the truth of who God is. And the world wants to rip us from who God really is. And he wants to give us a deformed image of God. So we need to be rooted in the scriptures to know his truth of who he is and who the human person is. Secondly, the Bible claims to give us power. Scripture uses a plethora of different images to show its power. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29 says, "My word is like a fire. It's like a hammer, which breaks rocks into pieces." Paul, when he's writing to the community in Rome, the very first chapter right away, in chapter 1, he says, "For the word of God is power." And the Greek word there he uses is dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. So Paul is writing to the community right on. First thing he wants to say is know that the word of God, the scriptures, the gospel, it is power. It's dynamite. It's explosive. It can change. One of the most powerful images or stories to convey this, the power that the scripture, that the Bible gives us, is looking at St. Augustine and his conversion story. We may know that his mother, now Santa Monica, was a devout Catholic, and she prayed diligently for her husband, who was an alcoholic and an abuser, and for her son, Augustine. And Augustine was raised in the faith a little bit growing up, but by the time he got in his 20s, he lived his entire 20s and his early 30s in a lifestyle that was, we'll just say, extremely worldly. He was a thief. He was a playboy. He had a child out of wedlock, and finally something happened where he decided to maybe settle down a little bit, so he got engaged to get married. He never did get married because while he was engaged to get married, he had a mistress on the side. And then all that fell through. He eventually moves to Milan and meets this guy named Ambrose. And through his study and his conversations with Ambrose, he intellectually had a conversion where he says, "I know that this is the right way to live life. I know I need to make these changes and live this way. I know it's what God's called me to do, and I know it's what he wants me to do, and I know it's what I want to do," but he just couldn't do it. He couldn't shake, and for him, it was the lust that he had. And so he would write of his struggle, even though he was there intellectually, everything in him knew and wanted to make the change, but he couldn't do it, and he would write about the struggle inside of him on one side, his will drawing him in towards God and making these changes, and the other side in him, a will just to continue to live as the life that he was living. And then one day he was walking in a garden, and he heard what he thought was a child's voice say, "Take and read, take and read." And he picked up, he thought that to mean to go pick up the Bible that was around. He picked it up and he opened to Romans chapter 13, verses 13, 14, and those two verses spoke directly into his life of what he was going through. And the thing was, when he read it, it pierced his heart and it changed him. It was a moment of grace that did for Augustine what he couldn't do on his own. He was there. He wanted to make the changes. He knew what he had to do. He just couldn't do it. The Word of God has power. So when he's writing on that, he says, "You had pierced my heart, Lord, with your love." At that moment, a moment of grace. It was the catalyst that finally was what Augustine needed to make the decisive change in his life. And the wild thing is that my experience is two and a half years as a priest, and for that matter, my experience of how I lived the majority of my life was that most Catholics live void of the power of the Word of God. We hear the scriptures at Mass, even if we're trying to live the Christian life by even coming to Mass every weekend. But we're void of the power every day that we need in the scriptures. And the Christian life is no easy life to live. But yet, so many are trying to live this very difficult life to live in a world that makes it very difficult to live that Christian life, void and not tapped into the power throughout the week. And so it is that Jesus is power. That is to say, this book is power. And it's the power to change. Third and lastly, the Bible claims to give life. And for that, I'll just say that my life began to change when I began to read this book. It was through really the inspiration of my brother, who's a year older than me. And when we were both in high school, I would notice that he would, during the week, after school, he would go down in the basement and spend sometimes an hour, 2 hours in this room in the basement. And it boggled my mind that he was down there for that long because that room didn't have a TV in it, right? The room, he didn't have a phone down there with him. He didn't have the books for school. So I was like, what in the world could he be doing down there without a TV? And finally, curiosity led me to, when he wasn't down there, to sneak down there and to see that there on the floor next to the lamp was his Bible. And next there was a stack of note cards, which is scripture passages that he was memorizing. Big old thick wad of note cards that he would just work through and memorize. And so that led me, I would say 100% of the reason that I began to do that was all of competitive reasons, right? That I'm like, well, he can do that, then look, I can do that. He can read he can memorize scripture passages. Well, I'm going to try to memorize more than him. Thanks be to God, with God's grace, he worked on me that ultimately wasn't the overriding reason why I began to read the scriptures and memorize scripture. But that was the original reason for sure. But as I began to spend time, it began to change my life. His word began to pierce my heart. Starting out, majority of the time was me walking down the long hallway to our room saying, okay, tonight I'm going to go right now, and I'm not going to watch the Cubs, I'm not going to watch the Bulls, Blackhawks, or Bears. I'm going to spend some time and read the scriptures. I'd go in my room, I'd sit down, I'd see the scripture, I'd see my Bible on the desk, and what would I do? I'd watch the Cubs, the Bears, the Blackhawks, and the Bulls. That was usually 98% of the time. But slowly, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, the habit began to build to the point where I receive life from his word, that it can give, that it does give. Here the account of the gospel today of Peter calling these two sets of brothers, or Jesus calling two sets of brothers, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And just this radical of this guy who they didn't know comes up to them and calls them to follow me, for them to leave their family, to leave what they're doing. And it's like, who would do that? It's because what these four guys saw in him was truth that was unmatched. They saw in him power that they'd never seen before. And they saw in him life that they experienced in their heart that they hadn't experienced before. And the reality is that this book gives that same power, that same truth, that same life as those four guys experienced on the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago. And we have in the Word of God at our disposal to crack open, to receive his power, to receive his truth, and to receive his life. And because of the importance of this, we spent some good chunk of time developing that can be found on our website, a resource page on the scriptures. Everything from recommending different Bible translations. We've recommended a Bible or two for you to pick up if you don't already have one. Recommended a commentary on the scriptures, a couple different Bible apps. It's crazy what the apps are. I mean, you know the different apps that there are. The Bible apps today, the one of the apps that we have, the reading plans on the app that you just punch in there of what reading plan you want or the topics, and it will send you a Bible verse every morning through a push notification or a passage every morning through a scripture passage to spend time with that day or that week. There's a section on there with suggested Bible verses to memorize, to help conform us to Christ, to get into our veins, to help us fight temptation, to help us to conform ourselves to Christ. Section on there for parents, Bible recommendations for teens, books for children that share the Bible stories for children with pictures. It's important for us, maybe especially just looking out here and seeing, maybe those of us from my generation, their 20s and 30s and 40s, that have small kids or about to raise small kids, to combat that biblical illiteracy that's happening in our world, to share with our children Bible stories, to read them the Bible stories. The stories, Bible stories of the Old Testament are incredibly entertaining. Even for a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, to know the Bible stories of Noah's Ark, and the others. The most important thing that hopefully the resource page conveys is the importance to know that Scripture is a place of prayer. It's a place, an encounter, to meet a person. Through reading of the Scriptures, we meet a person. Anybody can read this book. No one needs to go to school to get a degree. I encourage you to start with the book, the Gospel of Mark. It'll be easy to remember, right? Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of all the Gospels as well. After you read through the Gospel of Mark, then move to Acts of the Apostles and just read through the New Testament to spend time with the Scriptures. But take advantage of that resource page. And know well that the evil one will pull out all the stops to keep you from reading this book. Because this book will bring you freedom. It will bring me freedom. It will give you life. It'll give me life. Just lastly here, as I mentioned, the other big thing was with Christ Renews His Parish, and if you didn't, hopefully you had an opportunity to be here at 12:30 when Rich shared his testimony of his encounter with the Chirp Weekend last year. With that, I just want to swing real briefly back to St. Augustine's conversion story. Another big player in his conversion story is simply hearing the witness and the conversion of two other men in his life that he respected, talking about how they made the move to start following Christ. And that was enough for Augustine to be inspired and to have his heart disposed when he read the scriptures. That's the beauty of CHIRP, Christ Renews His Parish Weekend, is you have men sitting there and hearing other men talk about maybe things they struggled with, the things going on in their family, with their kids, maybe a divorce that they went through, and you're sitting there in the pew or in the room and saying, I went through that. I'm going through that. I struggle with this. And it helps break our heart to hear other people who have gone through it and have made the move or who have begun to make the move on a path for a deeper relationship, because this Christian life is hard. So as the Lord may be keeping us, we'll be trying to fight to keep us from reading and spending time with this book moving forward. I don't think there's a small number of us here in this church this afternoon too that the evil one will be trying to keep us from attending a men's or women's chirp weekend coming up.